The enemy is trying to stop revival. That is why the attacks are on. To stop revival, to stop you in your tracks so revival won't come or be. It's about people being set free from the enemy, from death and eternal hell. You see, I paid the price for humanity. You have received the life in me, says the Lord. You are the overcomer, for I have overcome. Hallelujah. Hold your head high, for you have the helmet of salvation. Walk tall and strong, for your loins are girded about with truth. My word is truth. Circumstances are facts, but not truth. So walk tall and strong in my truth. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You are my army in the earth. I move through you. I touch others through you. How you walk, talk, think, act, respond will either bring others to me or send them to their knees or send them into eternal hell away from me. So let my light shine brightly through you. Praise your way through. You know the way to walk. You know it. Worship, prayer, fasting, meditation, assimilation, confession, yes, and confession of my word, not your circumstances or your situations. Hallelujah. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Will you do your part? For I will work through you or work through man. Hallelujah.
Thank
Praise
you,
be to
Jesus.
God.
You,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but Jesus. Against principalities and powers, yes. Rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Old Testament gives us a New Testament perspective on worship. The Word of God says, those who wait upon the Lord. That's what you're doing this morning. You're waiting upon Him in worship. Those who wait upon the Lord will do what? They will renew their strength. Hallelujah. How many want your strength renewed this morning? Hallelujah. Now this is what it says about that. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And it gives this analogy. It says they will mount up with wings as eagles. The first place he tells us is that, and he gives us that analogy for this reason, because just like an old eagle will go through that plumage molting state. And science tells us there's a state where every single feather, right down to the last little part, changes on that eagle's body. So that before it's all over with, he becomes a new bird.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some of us
Thank
need
Jesus.
To become a new bird this morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He says we'll mount up with wings as eagles.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
There's a place in the Spirit that he wants to take us to now, according to this prophecy, according to everything he said, and according to his word, and the witness of the Spirit that is in you this morning, he wants to take you up.
Yes.
He wants you to catch what they call a thermal in the Spirit. It's that heat index or that heat that's rising from the ground and rising from your circumstances, and begin to worship Him past any and everything. Like this said, and this is absolutely true, that what you're going through is, it may be a fact, but it is not truth.
Amen. Amen.
This,
amen.
What I'm waving is
yes.
His truth. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
They will run and not be weary. It sounds like it's a descending kind of acclamation. It sounds like, okay, well, I'd like to stay in the heavenlies. But what happens is He'll bring you down to earth so that you run, and that you run with the truth, but you're not weary.
Amen.
Or that you run.
Yeah.
He says that you'll walk and not faint. He said you'll run and not be weary. But He said that in the last of it, that no matter what comes your way, see, and with every thermal, with every place that you go to, you can guess this. The Bible says He's changing us from glory to glory.
Amen.
But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. Now, what happens? If you understand what happens, then you'll just be waiting for the next thermal. You'll just be waiting on God, because what happens is this. When we declare Immokalee's in revival, and the Holy Spirit begins to take us to new heights, somebody is not happy about that. The ruler that has ruled over this region for quite some time says, they're not going to do that without a fight. While we're soaring in the heavenlies and the Holy Spirit is taking us higher and higher, guess what? It feels like revival's here. And it is a witness that it is coming.
Yes.
It is a witness. But guess what? When we go to that place where He comes, the enemy comes, that's a walking state. That's a place where you have to walk. But guess what? You will not faint.
Amen.
You'll walk by faith and you will not faint. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I've seen times in here, and you're doing real good this morning. I've seen times in here where the glory of God was so strong that all you had to say was, hello. And everybody got absolutely, they just fell out in the spirit. I've had Homer come over. There's been seasons. Now, let me help you understand this. God never has a season where He comes and then He backs off.
Amen. That's right.
But what we have to understand is we have to continually contend to go to that place where He's at. There was months where He'd come over to my house on Sunday night and say, my God, Pastor, 12, 15. I didn't even touch them. They were filled with the Spirit all at once. And just like any other time that I've seen in 17 years of ministry here, I've seen not just in His, mine and yours, then that dry time comes. And somebody says, well, God does that to teach us a lesson. Uh-uh. No, He does not. He'd rather 15, 20, 30 every service be filled with the Spirit. But the wicked one comes. But guess what? We know how to mount up with wings as eagles. And whatever season we walk through, wherever He attacks your body, wherever He comes, wherever He contends and says revival's not coming, guess what? They may be facts, but they are not truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This morning, we have the opportunity to go to a place where He begins to take us higher and higher in the Spirit. In fact, I'll just tell you this, because I felt some resistance against it to say, not to say it. And that makes me want to say it all the more. When I feel any resistance, then I start saying, wow, there must be something in it.
Amen.
When we begin to worship and He comes like He's about to come, there's a grace that's going to come on you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like coming and standing and lifting up your hands? I'll just bet you that if I laid my hands on you according to what has come on me this morning, that you're going to begin to grow wings. Hallelujah. You're going to begin to soar. And if you've been going through a dry season, guess what? You haven't fainted. You're here. You're here. I like the flying part my best. The flying part's my favorite. I know how to get past the walking. I know how to go. I know how to contend. Why don't you just lift up your voice this morning and begin to praise Him again. And whatever the Holy Spirit says to you, Matt, just put on for the rest of you. If you want a touch from Him in grace, I would encourage you to come forward and stand and let that grace begin to saturate you. And then at some given point, when He tells me, hallelujah, I'm going to lay my hands on you. So hallelujah. If that's you, come on. Hallelujah. If there's anything that the first begotten, the Lord of the church, could say to His people in these hours towards the end, would be for Him to say this. I'm saying it because I'm hearing Him saying it in that tongue. Do not forget your first love, says the Lord. Jesus. Do not forget your first love, says the Lord. For what is it that you think is so important? Or what is it in some level of thought of religion, you say, I can follow this, it'll really please God. He said, even right now, your mind's giving you some kind of a fit of where you've been and how you're working out things. Concerning your present surroundings, and what you're going through, where you'd like life to be. Know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that everything that you could desire and everything that you believe would make you whole and complete as a person is in that place of you attaining unto me and loving me more than you love this world and love yourself, saith the Spirit of grace. For desire me is to desire life and to always kindle in yourself that place of first love and of vehement kind of pursuit that will not allow any interruption at any given point. For this I desire, this I long for in you, saith the Spirit of grace, that you love me like I love you. And that love that came to me from the Father from the very beginning, which I described in my scriptures. No, there is no greater place. There's nothing that you can attain to any higher than to know my love and to be red hot in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Odese, what is it? That word right there, what was it? You could pick it out of the tape. That word was distraction. That word was distraction. For many krosa, many distractions come against your life. Many things you weigh out. Can I do this? Can I not do this? What is Sekia? What is that? He said the distractions that come against you are not the distractions that come against the world. Else they would not work with you if they look like those things that come against the world. For blatancy of sin and those things that are dark and ugly and perverted won't work against you. No, the distractions of good things. Things that are camouflaged, like this is a healthy thing for me, or family, or all those things that can be camouflaged. For I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, saith the Spirit of grace. I have not given you a reclusive spirit that recluses back into a place where you go and hide yourself because you're fearing not being able to live righteous, but rather to run and not be weary and to walk and not faint comes in a place of you believing what I said about who you are. But if you believe who you are, then you'll also take the sword of the Spirit and to discern. Did I not say that strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age? They've come to full maturity, who by right and reason of the exercise of their senses have come to a place who are able to discern between good and evil, saith the Spirit of grace. For what is it? What is it? If evil was not disguised as good, as a way of distraction over your life. So know this, I have not given you a spirit of fear, that you fear life, but rather that you embrace life in me. But in that embracement, know this, that I'll discern betwixt and between, and I will draw places inside you. And you must trust that place of interwitness that says yes and nay, yea and nay, saith the Spirit of grace. For my yeas are the way of peace, and my nays are the ways of telling you of the distraction and the pitfalls that are ahead. Many say, oh yes, but there's no way to live 100% all the time. I say unto you, oh yes, there is, saith the Spirit of grace. For in that saying, a lot of flesh has lived, saith the Spirit of grace. A lot of flesh has lived and went its way in saying, oh, but nobody can get it right all the time. Oh, but know this, not according to man, but according to the firstborn, your prototype. You can live always in the Spirit and discern between good, evil, distractions in my forecoming, which brings all life to you at all times, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For I desire that you wake up. Rabbi said, what is that? Wake up. For more and more as you pray in the Spirit and do my sayings, you'll wake up. You'll turn. You'll find that what you were involved in and the things that you said and the things that you did many times were not in perfect, but were in acceptable. Now, I can step out because I'll step back. But I'm really not out, but I can put in parentheses because this is me saying it. Good, acceptable, and perfect. 30, 60, and 100. Meaning, He'll visit you wherever you're at. You'll fellowship in this place, but guess what? When you learn more and you wake up more, many times what is perfect here, the higher you go, it'll soon drop into an acceptable. In other words, what you could do over here, and God say, okay, because that's their level of growth. That's 100% of my will that they're working in. But then they start praying more, learning more, walking more. And then He says, okay, no, that's not for you, little one. And as long as you stay there and you say, yeah, but you've allowed this in my life for all these years, He'd say, yeah. But that's not how it works in the kingdom. It's not even how it works in the natural. You don't stay 2 foot tall and 6 years old. You eventually grow up into a full-grown man or woman. And that's Ephesians. The full measure is according to doctrine. He said the reason why they weren't to the full measure is because they were tossed by every wind of doctrine to and fro. But He said growing up into the full stature of Christ. In other words, whatever the fullness of Christ is and however tall He is in the Spirit per se, that's because you embraced truth, held to it, and said no. Whether it's over your personal life, ministry, or whatever, He's able to take you to a place and you're able to see and say, oh, you know what? As long as I was doing that and that's the way I treated people or thought or did anything, or that was I had a big part of that in my life, or my week was divided up in a lot of that. That was His perfect will. But oh, I grow a little bit and then I start seeing, oh, wait a minute, He's curbing things. Sometimes people say, devil, I rebuke you. Get out of my house. You're telling me that I need to cut back on that and spend a little more time over here. Because God's always allowed it. Sure He did. Inacceptable, which was perfect then, if that makes sense. But you grow a little bit, and grow a little bit more, and grow a little bit more, and you find out, wow, I've been rebuking the Holy Spirit for years, and He hadn't got mad at me. Tugging on our hearts. Hallelujah. I got over here in parentheses and still prophesying. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. What was the last thing He said? Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. That's all the message of Ephesians. Wake up. He wasn't saying it to the dead that were dead, like as spiritually dead. He was saying it to the spiritual alive. Wake up. Guess what? You're a church that is supposed to be coming forward as a bride to a bridegroom that's coming back without spot, without blemish. You don't have to condemn yourself for the spots and blemishes. If you'll allow Him, He'll come and He'll wash. There's coming a day when the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the dead will be raised, maimed. They'll pull them in here and say, how'd you lose that leg? I lost it. A car accident or diabetes took it off, or guess what? The glory of God will be so strong. The cloud of the Lord will be in here. You'll be looking back here. I'll be saying, I know, I hope Matt's back there somewhere because I can't see him because the cloud's too strong. The oil will be so thick that you just walk over and you won't even think you did anything. You just prayed a prayer like you normally pray. Okay, in Jesus' name. In fact, you thought you was praying for his sinuses. And then all of a sudden, screams, ah, God Almighty! My God! Smith Wigglesworth said, well, I don't know about so much about doctrine. Hey, listen. We're standing on the shoulders of a lot of guys. They took what they knew and took us as far as they could. But we're getting close to home. And the closer we get to home, more revelation. Not because we're a better bunch. We're standing on the shoulders. And a bridegroom is coming. Father has told him, go ahead, put your garment on, son. And that church is coming alive. They're waking up. What if in those other days, the Bible says the maimed were made whole? That church, the Acts church, wasn't supposed to be the end result. They were supposed to be the beginning. We were supposed to carry their legacy into the next age and welcome him back, saying, the maimed were made whole. And guess what? It recorded the maimed. And I'm camping on that for a moment because that's one of the most sensational, if you could see that. But the maimed were made whole in the apostles' ministries, not just in Jesus's. Smith Wigglesworth told a guy in his service, he got a word of knowledge, and the word of knowledge turned into a miracle. He had just two stubs. Go tomorrow down to such and such and buy yourself a pair of shoes. When he got there, it was so absurd, he couldn't even tell the guy what size he wore because he didn't have feet. And then the guy was like, I got to go back here and talk to my associates. I got an idiot out there. The man is evidently insane. But we're going to humor him. So what would you like? What would you guess? Oh, I don't know. Give me a size 9, 10, whatever looks good. Now they say it's been historically passed by a lot of what seems to be good information. When he began to put those stubs in there, feet. I stood in the back office of Pastor Dave's. Now, if the man lied, he lied. He lied to the Holy Spirit, and I mean, he's in trouble. David Hogan told us, and I met him, talked to him in the back office. And then he got up and told about it. I can't remember if it was in the back office or it was, but I talked to David Hogan for a while, shook his hand. He told this. He said that man on the porch had nothing but his legs were not even down to they were just above the knees. Now that wasn't an instantaneously, but he said he went by there week after week after week. And he said from 1 week to the next you could see new flesh growing. Bone, muscle around the bone, and skin. And he said it took us several months, but he had a group of preachers. But he said it took us several months, but that man grew feet. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not into sensationalism, but if that man told us a lie, then he's got to deal with God. But if he didn't tell us a lie, then it only says what the Word of God says. All things are possible. But he said all that to say this. Long before those miracles like that take place, these kinds of wake-up calls, they got to come. Because as long as you're fighting your husband and wife, there's no need. to go to the next level. We're going to do spiritual warfare. Really? Yeah, we're going to go in there and we're going to pull them devils down. Well, praise God. Now, let me tell you the biggest devil you could pull down. Before you start casting down Beelzebub, you need to get along with your wife at home. Because the level of authority that you're going to speak to him and he's going to shake from the heavens, it comes from that place. It's not the guy that shows up at church that causes the devil problems. It's the guy that lives at home that causes the devil problems. It's the guy that's walking around when it's fine in his skeevies because it's just him and his wife and his kids and he's sitting on the couch. That guy is the real you. It's how you treat them. So that when you turn around and say, listen, you're not ruling in this house. And then you go over and, Daddy loves you, precious. Well, no, you don't love me. Not the way you've been treating. Screaming and yelling and cussing everybody in the house. And then you want to show up and say, I'm standing tall because we're going to bind Satan over a mockery and he's going to come down. And you're talking about a devil giggling. He giggles until he splits aside. There's no more authority there than a non-believer. No more authority. Because you X'd out. You X'd out what it took, which was love. Which was love. And you say, well, ever? No. No, we're not walked into perfection yet. But when you get to a place where anything inside of you, if you've grieved somebody, he said, and grieve not, Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know everything that surrounded that was not, you know what grieving the Holy Spirit was? It was how you walked with your brothers and sisters. Now, I might accidentally, not on purpose, or if I had a real bad hair day, you may get a little sarcasm or meanness out of me. That's dying in the next fast. But you know what happens? I have to trust the Holy Spirit through the night to help me sleep. Because I can't wait till the next day to give you a call and say, hey, forgive that part of me that's dying. As long as you can rest on it and say, I was justified in what I said. Then, if you're part of what's praying in, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking, guess what? We're going to be waiting a while. We tease around sometimes and we'll look at certain things that we do and we say, yes, it's no secret. Right, Reuben? We'll just say, guess it's no secret why revival hadn't hit yet. But guess what? When we're able to carry it, He loves us so much. Sure. To the full stature, the measure of Christ. When we're able to carry it, we'll be able to do it. When you're able to do it, you'll be able to carry it. What does that mean? I can say to my grandson, Damien, that's 7 years old, go out to the car, crank it up, go down to the store and buy us a loaf of bread, bring it back. Now, he understands the application of that. 7 years old. He understands the car, cranking, driving, going to the store, loaf of bread, standing by the register, probably watched his mom 1,000 times, buying it, bringing it home, understands what bread is. He might be able to drive better than most 7-year-olds, as much as I've had him in the groves driving. Watch that ditch, son. Watch. The only thing is he can't do it. He understands it. He just can't do it because he's not physically able. I understand. You can understand something by revelation. Because of the DNA of the new nature, the Holy Spirit can get a revelation over to you long before you have
the spiritual aptitude, the growth to carry it or to do it. This is what he was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, growing up into the fullness of the measure of Christ. Oh, I can understand the revelation of revival. I can understand that he wants me to see the blind, see the lame, walk, deaf, hear. The only thing is, when I get tall enough in the Spirit to carry that kind of anointing, and you and me, you with me, we'll have it. We'll have it. Right now, we're a bunch of 7-year-olds that understand it and appreciate it. Okay, Papa, I'd love to go to the store and get that loaf of bread. I just can't touch the pedal yet. My feet won't touch the pedal and I can't see over the steering wheel. I understand the blind seeing, lame walking, deaf hearing. The only thing is, character-wise, I'm not able to carry it. Guess what? We keep saying it and praying in tongues and keep saying it and praying in tongues and keep saying it and praying in tongues. We'll wake up. We'll wake up. We'll wake up. Whatever's stealing our time, we'll divorce ourselves from it. Hallelujah. If we have to have a formal divorcement, I divorce you. You've been stealing my time, devil, and I see it now. Okay. Here's your writ of divorcement. Praise be to God. What part of this did you plan on doing? None of it. Prophesying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not weight. This is good stuff. If we were drinkers, which we are not, this would be the stuff that I would just keep for my buddies when they come over. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been drunk ever since early this morning. It's amazing. Candy stood up here. She said, I want what you had in that blue chair this morning. I got lost for a while and she come out and she goes, are you going to be able to make it? I said, yeah, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Praise God for parties. Even when nobody else shows up, but you showed up, and hallelujah. Praise God. I like this because, you know what, I never was. No condemnation. You're just as saved. You're just as saved. Just as gloriously filled. If you partied every night, I never did. I got one of those real bland testimonies that you're trying to raise your kids to have a bland, but it's really a glorious. I was saved and filled way before I was a teenager. Way before. And guess what? The grace kept me all those years. Isn't that amazing? But I can only imagine the parties that you went to and didn't remember what you did. Sometimes I'll get so up in this, you'll come to me and say, you remember what you said Sunday? No, sorry. But remember what you prophesied over me? Sorry. I was drunk. In a good way. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, debauchery, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Same difference. But the one, you don't have to wake up feeling bad. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Been waking up next to the same beautiful woman for 34 years. Hallelujah. Ever drunk I ever got on in the Spirit. Never took me the wrong way. Hallelujah. One of my favorite people is here, and it is her birthday. JC, would you please come? Yay! Come on up here. Come on up here. Don't we look good in pink and yellow together? Yay! 12. Woo! You're how old? How old? 12 today. Who would believe it? Would you? Would you sing with me to JC this morning? Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear JC. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. Now, she wouldn't say this, her parents wouldn't, but don't forget the presents. I mean, you know, there's supposed to be presents here. I mean, so you don't have to leave the service, but maybe next service or what? Thank you. Thank you.
What's that?
I said, oh, welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Hallelujah. She wants to say this. Okay.
I live a long life for the Lord.
She's a long life for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wherever our next place is that we build and move to or whatever, I can't wait to some of these up-and-coming teachers, like JC, will be teaching the Word for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Miss Callie. Now, Miss Callie, as she is singing, I want you to listen to the Lord and just about what He would have you to give this morning. I just warn some of you that the anointing may come over you so strong that you may want to go out and sell your property over the phone and just to be able to, you know, that's Acts chapter 2 or 3. Praise God. She doesn't know she carries that anointing this morning, but I say that she does. Hallelujah. Now, this is another very important person in my life. She's got preach on her. So, don't preach right now. Okay. That's okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Bless us, would you?
You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You may call on the name of the Lord, but that don't mean that you're His child. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You may call on the name of the Lord, but that don't mean that you're His child. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. I heard somebody say, I know Jesus. Some even cast out devils in His name. But talk is cheap. What you sow is what you reap. Everything you do is kept on file. Anybody can talk it. But do you have the faith to walk in? You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. Now you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. How can you say you love Jesus when you don't even love your own brother? You're either cold, lukewarm, or hot. Don't let it be said that I know you not. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. Now you can't serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. How can you say you love Jesus when you don't even love your own brothers? You either cold, lukewarm, or hot. Just don't let it be said that I know you not. You gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You're gonna know who really loved Jesus after a while. You may call on the name of the Lord, but that don't necessarily mean that you're His child. You're gonna know who loved Jesus. You're gonna know who loved Jesus. You're gonna know who really loved Jesus.